Welcome to Community Matters, the show that talks about how nonprofits benefit our local community and far beyond. Indeed, the city, the state, the county. Well, I mixed that up. The city, the county, the state, the nation, the world, the universe. Yes, Community Matters knows no bounds. And that's because we do this all over the world by airing on three outlets, AM 1290, 96.9 FM, and AM 1290KZSB.com. And we do that 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific time on Monday, and then come back to you Monday evenings at 8 p.m., Sunday mornings at 6 a.m., and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. And we have, I'm Ed Giron, by the way, often with Maria Long, but I'm Ed Giron with Ed Giron today, and also with Brandon Levin, who's the president of the board of directors, and Rachel Gross, who is the executive director for the Jewish Free Loan Association. So we haven't had you on the air before, and I actually didn't know anything about you. Tell us a little bit about the origins of the Jewish Free Loan Association, Rachel.
Great. Well, good morning. Thank you, Ed. We're happy to be here and happy to tell you about the Jewish Free Loan Association. So we were founded actually over 100 years ago in 1904 as a non-sectarian organization offering zero interest, zero fee loans to anyone in Los Angeles. And today we're doing the same thing, although geographically we are serving anyone regardless of their faith in Los Angeles, Ventura, or Santa Barbara counties.
And who made the decision that, who woke up one morning and said, people need interest-free loans, and let me reach over to my pillow or bedspread and see if there's any available money here?
So it's actually extremely interesting. The organization is founded based on a directive from the Torah, where it is mentioned in three distinct places that you should not charge interest to your neighbor. And so that is where the concept of interest-free lending comes from. And in 1904, there was a group of Jewish men who were in the city of Los Angeles, and they wanted to bring this idea to the immigrants in the city at that time.
And how did they get the capital?
So it's interesting. We actually have the minutes from those early meetings. These businessmen actually put their own money into the original assets of the agency that were then lent out, usually for things like rent, to purchase a push cart, other emergency housing needs, things like that. And over time, you know, they appealed to the community, and that's really how the organization has grown over the last 100 or so years. And because we maintain a greater than 99% repayment rate, the money comes back. So we lend the money out. Every month, the client repays us, and that money is then lent to another client. So it's really a pay it forward mentality for the organization. And today we have $23 million lent out to the community.
So let's come over to 20, let's skip from 1904 to 2026. And the money that you have $23 million lent out, but in order to be able to do that, do you have an endowment? Do you have a foundation? Do you have monies that are gaining interest somewhere that you can continue to lend out? In other words, how does it work now?
So the way it works now is honestly the same, except for we're using a lot of technology to accomplish the same goal. We are constantly raising money, both from the community, from private foundations. We have some small amounts of money from local city government. And we do keep this money, you know, obviously invested in accounts. But what we do is we draw upon the money both from the repayments that come in on a monthly basis and as needed from other sources to continue to support the loans that the clients throughout the community come to us for. And by the way, those needs really range the lifespan from birth to death. We are making loans on the one hand for adoption and fertility, and on the other hand for funerals. And everything in between. Our largest buckets would be our student loan program, which, by the way, the window for that is opening on April 1st. We are offering $10,000 loans to technical and vocational students, undergraduate students, and graduate students. It's renewable annually. All the details are on our website at jfla.org. Our other large buckets would be our small business loans and our personal emergency loans, which really cover every area of life. We have loans for teachers, we have loans for nurses, we have loans for housing, medical, dental, mental health care, really you name it, and there is a loan fund that can cover you.
How do you get the word out? And then once the word gets out, if somebody applies, how do you evaluate undergraduate A versus undergraduate B in terms of actually getting the funds?
So the marketing is actually quite complex. And so it's one of the reasons that Brandon and I are thrilled to be with you here to help spread the word. We do some limited radio advertising. We have a few billboards up. And we're really relying on a lot of traditional methods, online marketing, social media, but it's Los Angeles and it is a little bit difficult to break through the noise on a nonprofit budget. So that is a challenge. In terms of the students, it's first come, first serve. So we are really looking at the students in the order that they come to us. We're not looking at student A against student B. I encourage anyone who's listening to this and wants to apply to put their application in ASAP, because our first meetings are being scheduled right now.
So, Brandon, you and the board, custodian of these, how do you make sure? I'm sure there are some funds that are placed in reserve. How do you make sure with all the economic uncertainty of interest rates and stock market and all, how are these funds obtained for use and preserved for you if they're not getting any interest on from the borrower per se?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and we generally have our money invested in two general areas. Both of those areas are, of course, invested very conservatively, so that we minimize our exposure to fluctuations in the stock market and the bond market, but we still do invest them for longer term healthy investment returns. We do keep an emergency fund set aside for if there are any major economic challenges. We certainly were extremely concerned when COVID came around in 2020. We didn't know if what was going to happen. Nobody knew. And fortunately, we had 18 months worth of reserves to continue operating the organization. Fortunately, the community continued to be extremely generous. There was obviously a major need in the community for interest-free lending, given all of the economic challenges. So we did not have to dip into that. But we do have an emergency fund, and then we have funds that are set aside for interest and dividends that help us maintain the organization. And then the organization operations are also funded heavily by very generous donations from the community and from foundations. And corporations as well.
So, Brandon, how long have you been involved with them, and how long you've been president of the board?
So I've been president now for 5.5 years. Rachel has actually
Mazel tov.
gone, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And Rachel's actually gone back through the minutes going back to 2000, or I mean to 1904, and it seems like I may be the longest standing president, which is exciting. I think a lot of it speaks very highly of the board and Rachel, and my love of working with Rachel and the staff, the impact on the community. Some of it certainly has a lot to do with my inability to say no. But I will be coming up to the end of my third term, which will be 6 years at the end of August, and I will be passing the reins on to another very capable president.
How did you get started in Santa Barbara and Ventura, Rachel? When did that happen?
Well, to be completely honest with you, the history is
Lie to me,
not a
Rachel. Lie to me.
The history is not really accounted for in the minutes. And it is an area that we do serve, and we are really trying to expand that area and to get the word out so that we can help more people. That's really our mission, to help the people in, in Southern California and to identify new needs as they arise within the community and to offer support in the form of a zero interest, zero fee loan.
Are there, you have different categories for lending. You said the student loan, the things involved with parents, childbirth, funerals. Does someone have to fit in a specific category to be able to receive a loan?
No, the answer to that is absolutely not. The largest categories are outlined on our website and you'll see them there. But if somebody has a need where they don't see a specific category on the website, they should definitely still apply and we will definitely still try to help them.
If someone has a need that you have you had a request that you couldn't fulfill, not in terms of the dollar availability, but the criteria.
So the most challenging piece for the client is that all of our loans do require a guarantor. A guarantor is someone who's going to sign a document that says that they will repay a loan in the event that the client defaults on the loan. So they're therefore responsible. Getting a person to do that is the biggest challenge for the client. Often a client is embarrassed, they don't want to ask someone. So there are times where someone, if they can't find a guarantor, we're not able to make the loan. The other piece that can be difficult for clients is we only make loans to people who are working. Now, that does, we do make loans to senior citizens, even if they're only getting Social Security. The idea here is that you need to be able to prove some sort of income because it is a loan and not a grant. And the client needs to be able to repay the loan. So we need to see that there's some way that the loan, whatever the size, is going to be repaid.
So can the individual be a guarantor? Let's say they get $4,000 a month in Social Security benefits. Is that person potentially their own guarantor and doesn't need a third party?
No, we always require a third-party guarantor. That person can be a relative, a friend, a coworker, anyone in their life, but we require a guarantor.
And is their credit checked?
Yes.
And so they have to have at least the ability, the ostensible ability to repay the
Correct. They
loan.
need to have the ability to repay, but I would encourage people to apply even if they think they won't be eligible because we're a nonprofit. We're not a bank, and we want to help people. We are willing to take risk, and every day we are taking risk with our loans. And our method works. We have a greater than 99% repayment rate. So, despite taking a risk on individuals who otherwise might not be able to get a loan, for example, at a bank, we are able to make them a loan and collect on the loan.
Would a car loan apply here?
We offer loans for the purchase of a used vehicle and also for car repair, but not for new cars.
When we come back from our 2-minute break, we'll talk about more about the individuals that have received loans and the success rate you've had over the years, and maybe some interesting loans that you've given. But we'll do that to keep the audience in suspense after we come back from a commercial break. We'll be right back here on AM 1290, 96.9, and AM 1290 KZSB.com's Community Matters. Welcome back to Community Matters. We're talking with the Jewish Free Loan Association in the persons of Brandon Levin and Rachel Gross. So let's talk some of the terms here. What's the term of the interest-free loans? How long do they go out?
All of the loans have a 3-year repayment rate, except for the student loans, because the students are generally in school for much longer than 3 years. So with the students, I can't give you an exact answer because it depends how many times they've borrowed us. However, generally it takes the students about 10 years to repay the loan.
And then, what's the maximum loan somebody can, an individual can get?
The small business loans have a cap of $36,000. That would be our largest loan an individual could receive.
How much of your portfolio is small business loans?
It's about 30%.
And how are those, how are those, are they startups? Are they growth or?
With the small business community, we're serving a pretty wide spread of businesses. We are making loans to startups. We're generally making loans to small businesses that are, in some sort of a crisis. They need to purchase new inventory, machinery of some sort they need assistance with. But we're also making loans to small businesses who need to beef up their security or need new computer systems. So we're really addressing a wide range of needs in the small business community.
And have you done in Santa Barbara yet, small business loans?
I don't recall doing a small business loan in Santa Barbara recently, but I'd love to. So, small business owners, feel free to apply.
We would love that. I mean, the Santa Barbara community would love that because, as you probably know, there's been a, beyond all of the other economic upheavals we've had, there's been a shift in a lot of retail businesses and things like that. And some businesses never really recovered post-COVID, and then they had, economic downturns as a result of retail spaces retooling and things like that. So it would be good to get the word out to not only business owners, but sometimes small building owners and things like that in the Santa Barbara area. What about if an individual comes to you with somebody that maybe doesn't have a guarantor, or do you have the bandwidth to refer them to other organizations that might be able to fund their needs?
We're the only ones who do this. There's no other player in the game. So when someone comes to us and they don't qualify, unfortunately, there really is no good referral source for them.
How do you wind up with a 99% repay rate? That's outstanding.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. It's an impressive number, and it's year over year. The way that the program works is really based on the guarantor. So what happens here, Ed, is, if you took a loan and your best friend guaranteed your loan, let's say you took a $5,000 loan to pay for a dental expense that you had, and you're paying your loan every month, and then suddenly you're not paying your loan. So someone on our team would reach out to you and they'd say, "What's going on? Why aren't you paying?" You might give them a reason. Hopefully, you give them a good reason. But ultimately, if you're not paying, we are going to reach out to your best friend. So what's going to happen there? Is your best friend going to say, "Oh, no problem. I'm happy to write you a check and pay off the loan in full. One, two, three." No, of course not. They're going to call you and say, "Hey, Ed, you took this loan. You asked me to guarantee it. You promised me that you were going to pay it back. What's going on?" So what happens there in that dynamic, right? You're embarrassed, you're upset, you don't want to disappoint your best friend. So you make a payment. So it's really that peer pressure component that generally, creates the opportunity for the client to repay the loan in full.
And what's the maximum you can lend out in any given year?
We're generally lending out about $12 or $13 million in new loans any given year. With fundraising, we can do more than that.
And who fundraises in your operation?
I fundraise. We have some fundraising members on the team. Brandon fundraises, the board fundraises. Fundraising is the name of the game. Donate now.
And how do people do that? Give us your website again.
Ah, the website. Yes, you can donate right now at jfla.org. It's simple. It just takes a few minutes, and your donation will go directly out to the community.
Have you had a chance? I know, this is a busy organization, but have you had a chance to see the impact that you've had on the people that have borrowed from you, three years post, or the students, X amount of years post, how they've done?
Absolutely. In fact, we for the last few years, we've been sending out a number of surveys to understand just that, just the impact. And population over population, whether it's seniors who've received loans to keep themselves in housing. I'm sure you know that, seniors are the fastest group of people who are becoming homeless, so our loans are really doing a lot to help them, or whether it's helping students remain in school, because for a lot of students, with increasing cost of everything, not just tuition, but transportation and housing and food, for a lot of them, remaining in school is difficult. The loan makes a real difference, and they're able to remain in school. So, really, across all the populations that we're serving, what we're seeing is an enormous impact from the loan and tremendous amount of gratitude from the clients who receive them.
You mentioned the senior population, and that's a tough one because you've got a combination of maybe uncovered long-term care plus housing. When you make the loans, the non-small business loans, where do you see the greatest need? Is it the seniors? Is it the students?
I mean, the truth is, there's need everywhere you look. There's need for assistance with medical and dental. There's need for housing. There's need with seniors. There's needs with veterans. There's so much need. And that's why, we're here and we're happy to help people.
Your goals and objectives, Brandon, you can address this. You've been president for close to 6 years. What the baton you're passing on, what are going to be the goals for the next 5 years? Are things going to remain constant in the organization, or do you see expanding to other areas, et cetera?
Yeah, the organization has expanded quite a bit over the last 5 to 6 years. We've more than doubled our loans outstanding. And one of the things that really surprised me when I joined the organization, and it was one of the attractions to me of the organization, is how critical the service is that we provide to the community, but how little JFLA is known throughout Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara. Very few people had heard of it. And that was one of the major areas that Rachel and the board have focused on over the last few years, is getting the word out. Much of that has been done through creative social media. It's been done through billboard advertising, radio such as this, getting the word out, digital advertising.
I
But
loved when Rachel mentioned old-fashioned standard mechanisms like social media. I remember 10 years ago when people went, "How do we do this?" But now it's almost pro forma and nothing special anymore. Doesn't necessarily get the broad range that you could get 5 years ago.
yep, certainly, certainly market, certainly marketing can be challenging. And we've been fortunate in working with our team internally with advertising and marketing agencies that we've very successfully gotten the word out. And we want to get the word out both to the borrowers as well as to the donor community. And that's been very successful. And we want to continue to do that, because there is a demand in the community well beyond what our current lending portfolio is. And when people find out about JFLA, they always ask the same question: how did I not know about you before? I wish everybody knew about you. And that's what we want to continue to grow, to continuing our outreach and making people aware of the great program we offer.
I know they feel they might be competitors, but do you have partnerships or not unaffiliated partnerships, looseness ties to banks or Rotary or entities that see needs that can't fulfill needs that could refer out? And don't answer that question, because we're going to take a break, and that's why people don't stop listening as we take breaks. We'll be back in about 2 minutes here on AM 1290 and 96.9 and AM 1290 KZSB.com's Community Matters.
And you're clear.
You have such a lovely voice. What a great radio voice. I will say, you have a TV face as well. So
Welcome back to Community Matters with the Jewish Free Loan Association and the persons of Brandon Levin and Rachel Gross. And we were talking about the fact that the organization isn't a household name. It doesn't trip off the tongue trippingly. So it needs more marketing and it deserves more marketing. And I was just wondering, do you have affiliations with organizations? We don't have to name them, but I know banks are competitive with you, might feel it, but would a bank ever say, look, we really can't do this, but here's an organization? Or would an organization like a Rotary or something like that say, hey, there's a, you know, here's somebody that can serve people in need that we've served that can go an extra step, things like that?
That's a really good question. And actually interesting that you brought up the piece about the banks, because we haven't worked with banks in terms of having banks refer clients to us that they are unable to help. But I actually just recently engaged in just that conversation with one bank who's been funding us, and they're trying to figure out if there is indeed a mechanism that they can work with us in that way. However, our traditional referral services, for which we have hundreds and hundreds of relationships and partnerships, really span all areas of the nonprofit community, meaning synagogues, churches, hospitals, financial literacy organizations, domestic abuse organizations, you know, all areas of organizations that are serving the public. We partner with them and we work on educating their staff so that they will understand our program and understand which clients they can refer to us. And, you know, on any given day, we're getting dozens of referrals from these types of agencies.
So colleges and universities too, I suppose, for the scholarship aspects.
So it's been a little bit bumpy working with the universities, to be honest with you. There are a lot of lending laws within the state of California that make it quite difficult for them to refer their students. But that doesn't stop us from being on campus, advertising in campus newspapers and sponsoring events, et cetera, in order to get the word out to the students.
And Santa Barbara has, I'm sure LA does too, but Santa Barbara has a few senior event days and things like that where I could see your presence would be helpful in educating the senior community.
Well, we'd love to be there. And if you have any suggestions for events, Ed, or if anyone listening has a suggestion for a senior event or other that you feel Jewish Free Loan should be at, please reach out to us via the website at jfla.org.
That's a great idea. I'll see if I have time to contact some people I know that we've had on the air before that do things like that would be interesting. And for the specialized healthcare, like the dental care and things like that, that's outstanding. But there are, by the way, some organizations here in Santa Barbara that will render some free dental care services that you might need to know about for referring out if you say no to somebody. There are, based on need, some groups that will render full service dental care at no cost.
Wonderful. I'd love to hear which organizations those are.
Yeah, that's Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinics, by the way, their dental group. So it would be great to integrate you fully into the community with a lot of cooperative affiliations. And Maria, who's not with us today, but she's with us for the next 40 years probably, also has a lot of contacts in that arena. When I look at if you, Rachel, look going forward, what do you see as the greatest underserved need right now?
That is a complicated question. I mean, there are just so many areas, Ed, where people need help with. I mean, clearly in Southern California, housing continues to be an ongoing struggle for so many. But what we see right now with the economy constricting and, you know, prices going up, we see, you know, really across all the needs, we see an increase in what people need assistance with. However, I would say that seniors really stick out as a population that needs support. What we're seeing in that caseload are people who, you know, who've worked their whole lives, they've saved, they might have a pension, they're getting Social Security, and yet they still cannot meet their monthly expenses. And we see them going back to work. either in their
Wow.
field or in another field, generally part-time, not always full-time. But we see, we have clients coming to us in their 70s and they're going back to work. And it's really startling to see that. And, it shows the devastation amongst that population. And it also really explains why we're seeing an increase, in homelessness in the senior community.
The issue with, housing and loans to assist with housing is unless the individual's economic condition improves in the by the end of the payback term, they need it all over again. Can you hit the restart button on the same individual if they need a if they paid off a loan, almost like a line of credit, and they're debt free for a period of time? It's like I'll come back to the well. Does that happen?
So we do have a population of clients that do come back to us over and over again. They have repaid their loan in full. They have generally a different need. A prime example will be something like this. Someone takes a loan out to repair their car. They repay the loan, and a few months after they've repaid it, something else goes wrong in their life. They have an emergency medical bill, they need assistance with housing, whatever the need is, they know about us. They had such a good experience with us and understand that, this is a really great way and it's just access to the least expensive money that they can get to fix their problem. And they do come back to us. And in terms of, our loan committee approving loans, when clients come back to us, if they have a very strong repayment record, we're happy to make them a second loan. So it really works to their advantage.
Do you, on a technical aspect, do you ask the guarantors to provide annual financials or tax returns?
So we ask the guarantors to either give us a copy of a current pay stub or a tax return.
Okay, but you don't, do you ask them to do that annually for the term of the loan or just a
No,
one-off?
one time when we approve the loan.
So you make it easy for them. That's great. When did you start with the organization, and how did you grow into it?
Well, I've actually been with JFLA for almost 24 years. This summer it'll be 24 years. And I started a long time ago as the grant writer, and I was very fortunate that different opportunities came my way. And it's been a pleasure. I believe in the mission of interest-free lending. I think there's a real need for it, and it's honestly, it's a very exciting place to work.
Brandon, we should talk about the composition of the board a little bit. How what is your background, and who's on the board? If not specifically, what types of people are on the board?
Yeah, so my background is I am an owner of a manufacturing business. I run a company based in Compton in the Los Angeles area. We manufacture decorative residential and commercial lighting. We have a factory here that employs in our factory, we have about 40 people. My company is about 60 people when you include sales and administrative as well. And I'll just take a slight tangent, and that is the way that I really became so interested in JFLA. I was introduced to it by a good friend of mine that I go back to. Actually, go back to him with T-ball when I was 4 years old, but became better friends with him in high school, and we've stayed in touch. And he introduced JFLA to me, and like most people, I said I did not know that existed. But what I did know existed is the need, particularly for personal emergency loans. So my company, going back to my grandfather and my father before me, obviously a family business, I'm third generation, is we would make pay advances to employees who have emergency needs and they really have nowhere else to go. It could be for all of the reasons Rachel mentioned, it could be because of a death in the family. It could be because of a medical issue. It could be because somebody has to go to Mexico or El Salvador or whatever they need to do for a last minute emergency issue and they don't have the money. So we, as a company, would make interest-free pay advances. And I saw how impactful and important and critical and appreciative and relieved our employees were when they could get $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. And to see a grown man cry in my office, which I've seen a number of times when, you know, when I've been able to tell them, yes, Justice Design Group, my company, can make a pay advance to you of $3,000 or $5,000. The weight of the world is lifted, lifted off of them. And if there's a demand in my organization, my small company, I figured, and there has to be a, you know, a demand hundreds or thousands of times as big. Every company has that need. And it really spans the income spectrum. It's not necessarily just the lower income workers. It can be managerial level as well. So that's what was appealing to me about JFLA, to be able to take what my small company does and scale it. And we've been successful in doing that. And one, that's one of the things we have done is we've reached out to corporations that make that the corporation will be the guarantor for their employees. Right. They will refer the employees to us. They will tell us that they guarantee that that loan to the employee. We will make the loan, and we've been very successful and have had a 0% default rate with that. And it's a wonderful benefit to those employees at those companies.
Fantastic benefit. Tell us about some of the other members of your board, or at least what their backgrounds are.
We have a diverse experience background. We have some people that run small businesses like I do. We have some attorneys. We have financial advisors on the board. We've had people that come from the nonprofit world. We have people that have come from community organizations that are not necessarily affiliated with the Jewish community who've been on the board. So we look for people that have experience and ideally experience in being on boards, but more importantly, some level of experience with nonprofits or operating organizations. It's certainly nice to have attorneys on the board, as there are you know, number of legal issues that come up, such as, you know, related to, nothing is easy in the state of California. No. So having attorneys on the board is certainly very helpful. And so yeah, we benefit significantly from the wide range of experiences that our board members have.
And Rachel, what kind of a staff do you have to work with?
I have an incredible team. We have, you know, three different parts of our team. We have our fundraising staff, which is always busy, like I've said, going out in the community to raise additional funds so we have more dollars to lend to the community. We have an unbelievable programming team that works very hard with the clients to make sure that they get the loans, to advocate for the clients, to process the loans, to collect on the loans. They're really working hard, you know, on the client side of everything. And then we have a small staff of two who handle all of the accounting. And if you think about what we're doing, you know, with $23 million lent out in the community and over 3,000 loans, there's quite a bit of accounting that needs to be taken care of. And so everyone is really dedicated. I think the unifying piece here, Ed, is that everybody believes in the mission of interest-free lending. They understand why it's important. They understand how it helps people, and they're passionate about it. And because of that, you know, we come together as a group and really are able to just to help so many people and make a difference in their lives.
How big a staff does it require to do all of this stuff?
Right now we have 13, but frankly, we could use a few more.
Are you actively hiring and recruiting?
We are actively hiring for a entry-level program team position. And if you're interested in that, the details are also on our social media.
Do you have any openings in Santa Barbara? You're basically doing this through other cities. And
so we're a remote organization. But generally, the team is located in Los Angeles proper. And for this position that we're hiring, it does need to be within LA.
Well, that's amazing. That's wonderful that you're able to do remote. Is it hybrid or is it all remote?
No, it's all remote. We actually don't have a physical office. You know, COVID taught us that was a great way to run the organization.
Right. It is. And we're all speaking now. It used to be that before COVID, we would all be in the studio together. And now we can do this from wherever we are at any point in time. And I think it's just a wonderful thing. I do miss the in-person sometimes, but and I think that's the most valuable you can get, but sometimes it's not possible to do that. And this is just a wonderful way to have a backup plan. Anyway, enough of such bumblings and ramblings. Let's take a commercial break and be back in about 2 minutes here on AM 1290, 96.9, and AM 1290, KZSB.com's Community Matters. Welcome back to Community Matters. I'm Ed Geron with Brandon Levin and Rachel Gross and the Jewish Free Loan Association. It's a Jewish Free Loan Association because the loans are made with no interest and in very broad categories: student loans, medical loans, senior loans. Seems like a wonderful organization that makes a lot of its contacts behind the scenes, so a lot of us don't know about it, but the more we know about it, the better, and that's why they're here. So, Rachel, what else did we not cover in this final segment that you could tell us about, and Brandon, about the Jewish Free Loan Association?
Well, one thing that I really would like to highlight, Ed, is our fertility loans. We're offering loans to the community for anyone who is in need of any kind of fertility procedure. That could be like a traditional IVF procedure, but it could also be for people who might be undergoing cancer treatments or have other medical issues and they need to freeze their eggs. We don't look at the family, in any way. We're not judging if you're single and going through a fertility. We make loans to anyone, regardless of their faith or their marital status. And this is one of the most inspiring parts of our work because sometimes when people, become pregnant, they do share pictures of the babies. And it's just such a high when we see that because, there's nothing sweeter than seeing a new baby and knowing that our loan somehow helped with the process. It's wonderful.
Have you made adoption loans?
We do make adoption loans. We don't make them as often as we make our fertility loans, but we would like to. So if you need an adoption loan, please contact us at jfla.org.
Brandon, anything you'd like to leave us with in the last segment?
Yeah, to anybody that's interested, that has a background in interest-free lending, nonprofit, business, any area, but in particular a passion for what we do, we would certainly love to hear about it. And we're always looking to expand our board with people that have an interest and a passion for what we offer. Our board runs remotely, so we have people that are in numerous places, not just in Los Angeles. So we would love to hear from your listeners and anybody that has an interest and a passion. Please reach out to us. We have a path for being considered for the board, and it typically runs through being on loan committees. We have three different loan committees that review the various types of loans, and the pathway to the board is typically through a loan committee, so that the candidates can understand what the process is that we run.
So let's highlight again, Rachel, the website, so that people can be reminded of how to contact for both loans and board and donations, or all three.
Absolutely. The website is jfla.org, and right there at the top of the website, you can apply for a loan. You can make a donation. On our homepage, you'll see all the ways to look at the various categories of loans, and we'd love to hear from you.
So say it one more time. I'm going to embed it in my brain now.
It's jfla.org.
That's pretty easy. Serving Santa Barbara, Ventura, and Los Angeles, and we hope that you become way better known to the public at large as well as all of the people behind the scenes that you work with to help facilitate loans for people that need it and otherwise couldn't do it unless it was interest-free. Thank you for being a resource to the entire set of communities you serve. And thanks for being on the air with us. I'm going to say goodbye, not because I want to, but because the computer is going to cut me off. So Maria Long and I will see you, I being Ed Giron, we'll see you next week on more Community Matters. Bye.